talking about who that? Run up on me, you get jacked. Beat blue black, blowing your nerve. I'm off the curb, push mountains of herb. You niggas already heard the bro bird. Keep a pump on his lap at all times. Whatever, however, cause young me, they trying. See him and be like, huh? What? Huh? Give a f- like what? Blow my weed.
You guys are back live with the Lunch Break Crew.
Part two.
We are in hour two. Man, where did the time go, y'all? I'm going to just stay here. Y'all have to put me out because I'm in charge, all right? God dang it. But Brother Z brought me something on the menu, and I want to share it with y'all, all right? A huge thank you to everyone who came out and supported True Family Fest 2026. Special thanks to educators, credit union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, artists working in education, City of Milwaukee, DCWS, AB Corps, Core, Ascension, and Tappan MKE. Thank you for helping us make this event possible, and to our vendors, volunteer, listeners, and families for showing up and supporting our community. From all of us at 101.7 The Truth, thank you. Thank you, Milwaukee. Man. Good. But we was digging into something better. I'm going to call that meat and potatoes. We was getting into it. All right. You hear me? Listen, so we were talking about Master P in his most recent interview where he talked about building success and believing that you can't build success by looking back at our history and harping on slavery. We talked about how Germany handled the Holocaust versus how America handled slavery. We talked about why history matters, right? We talked about how we understand what he meant. But we also want to get into why the critics have a point, too. And I know Brother Z brought up a good point when he said, I wonder why they don't want to pretty much acknowledge this happened and this still affects us to this day. Because like I said, I think it's still happening and we still have byproducts of what happened, and that's why they can't admit it, because they still doing it. They still eating off of what they did. I remember there was an episode. I don't know if any of you guys watched Atlanta with Childish Gambino, but there was an episode that basically, like, if they did acknowledge it and give reparations, where they would come from and like how it would come from, like, the families that pretty much profited off of the backs of slavery. And like, it's some people that are like, yeah, it makes sense. But then people losing so much that they were used to have, and they were committing suicide and all this crazy stuff. But it's a good episode. If you guys watch it, you'll see why I'm referencing it. So shout out to Atlanta. Make sure you guys watch that. All right. But let's get into why his critics have a point, too. You cannot fully understand today's wealth gap without understanding the history that helped create it. Remembering slavery does not automatically mean having a victim mentality. Demanding accountability does not mean refusing to work. And wanting economic empowerment does not require pretending that the past has no connection to the present. Okay. Maybe the better conversation isn't history versus entrepreneurship. Maybe it's history and entrepreneurship, right? Because you got to know your history to know where you're going. That's why you got so many people stuck, because you know something ain't right, but you don't know what's right. You don't know what's wrong. You know what I'm saying? So it's important for us to know our history so we can avoid the same hiccups that we've had in the past. It's important to know so we don't get got the same way that we had in the past. If we don't know our history, if we don't know where we came from, if we don't know how we ended up in this place as is, we can't get out of this place. So, like I said, maybe the better conversation is history and entrepreneurship. Robert Land said, you talking that talk, Shannon. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Let me get back in it. Now, what happened? Understand how it still affects. Know what happened, right? And understand how it still affects the present. Demand honest acknowledgement and meaningful repair. Then use that knowledge to build something your children and grandchildren can inherit. Because remembering the past and building the future do not have to be opposites. So cousins, here's the question, y'all. Should Black Americans be told to stop talking about slavery and focus only on building wealth? Or do we believe America should fully acknowledge slavery, Jim Crow, discriminatory practices and policies that helped create today's wealth gap before asking us to simply move on? What y'all think? Like I said, it's a lot. It's a lot to unpack there. We can't just look at that clip and be like, you know what? Mr. Master P had a point there, right? Look, some of the comments, they calling him Massa P now. And he tried to come back and be like, well, that ain't really what I was saying. But it's very important. People with a platform, with a voice, talk about those things with a lot of thoughtfulness. It's very important that you watch what you say, because I feel like somebody that's been rich for a long time, it's very easy to forget, right? It's easy to forget, like, the leverage that you hold. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where it's like you just say things and you later on you're like, oh, well, like, this is what I meant. No, say what you mean and mean what you say. Say it right now. Say it right then and there. They calling them Massa P. M-A-S-S-A, y'all.
But are we really expecting him to be politically correct?
Hey, if he gonna go as far as, I think, like, first of all, he was talking business. I think it was a Forbes interview. He's talking business and telling us, stop harping on slavery. Don't even bring it up. That's what I think. If you haven't really thought deeply about something as fragile as that, even when, like, I was talking to these guys at Bar Louie, I was like, this is a conversation for when I'm sober, but we can get into it a little bit. Because I got some things to say, because I'm a yap no matter what. But I was like, we really got to dig into this when we sober, because I can only tell you so much right now in a bar. He's like, tell me, educate me. Let me know about African-American. I'm like,
those are the worst ones.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, people, like, the fact that people really think we were slaves and then we weren't. They're like, you know what? My bad, everybody. Oopsie daisy. Y'all can go find your families after I raped your kids and your husband and your wife, tore them apart, cut some stuff off,
this is a
sold
Negro.
Them, did this and that. Slavery's over. Well, I don't feel no way. No hard feelings. Go do you. After they had to fight to not be looked at as pets, basically. We were property. We wasn't their friend helping them build something. And then after that, when they was, like, giving us money, it wasn't nearly enough, like, when they were paying us for our services. And then we didn't have the education, so we didn't know that we were getting got. Like, yeah, if you work a million hours, I'll pay you $10. You might get an acre. Them people was working till they died, if we being for real. A lot of them people that were trying to do the right thing and, like, you know what, I'm going to work and they going to actually look out for me. Working day and night. I remember my grandma telling me, she remembers her dad used to yell in his sleep like he was working, like the cattle. Like, he used to, like, have dreams about that.
Oh, like having nightmares or something? Yeah. Or just, like, talking just in his sleep?
Talking in his sleep, because he worked so much, he would be like, how they would, like, man the cattle. He was, like, yelling those commands and yelling work stuff. And it's like, that's how much they work, these people.
I'm not going to lie. I have a confession.
Oh, goodness. What's the confession?
It's been a while, but... there's been times where I've woken myself up out of my sleep because I've been screaming, like, go to break.
Exactly.
Like, break.
That's
break.
How much you work.
So it's that that's crazy.
So
that,
when
that you
think
that.
About it, that's how much they was working in them fields. Like, when you do something so repetitively and so often, that's like all you think. You can't even escape from it in your sleep.
That's crazy.
Crazy. Crazy work. But after this break, y'all, I want to talk about Target's Halloween costume backlash. This was all over the place. Target is once again facing some criticism from parts of the Black community. We can talk about why they were facing it before. We can talk about all the things. But now, you know, Halloween coming up, they facing it once again. And I'm going to tell y'all why I think they keep falling into these... why do they keep falling into these situations, okay? Don't go anywhere. You are listening to the Lunch Break on The Truth 101.7 with Ray Nitty and Maybe Shannon. I'm holding it down today, but Ray'll be back soon. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere.
Okay, let's get it. Okay, let's get it.
21.
Auto boy tell him, man, don't put that on my city. Hold on, let me get it. I'm in a bulletproof black truck, I president it. This for them girls shaking out, doing hair and kisses. I need a 10-piece lemon pepper, magic city. What the fuck going? I got a pocket full of money.
Back, baby.
I got a phone full of hitters who been slept on.
We are back. We are back. We are. You guys are listening to The Lunch Break. Yeah, what's on the menu today, man? We are listening to The Lunch Break. We are live. You're listening to 101.7 The Truth. Shout out to the chat. One of one. Robert Lance. Aaron is him is in the chat. He says Shannon is in the stew. What's good, black people? Man, we getting into some meat and potatoes, y'all. We cooking over here. We cooking. Look, he done gave me the mic and I done took off. We definitely, we already got into Asian Fest. We recapped my weekend. We talked about how I went to Bar Louie because I was discouraged. I saw too many Tom Tiffany signs at the first spot I wanted to go to. Couldn't do that. But then we also talked about how I got into a conversation about African-American history at Bar Louie. We talked about Master P and how in his latest interview, he pretty much said that black people need to focus on success and forget our history. We talked about that. We played the clip. But now we're going to kick it off to something else that's been pretty hot. The hot conversation, okay? That is taking off. I've seen people talk about it all day yesterday. I feel like we're the first people live on the air to talk about it. I do feel like we're the first to talk about this. Right? Target Halloween costume backlash. All right. So Target is once again facing criticism from parts of our black community. And this time it is over a Halloween costume that many people say disturbingly looks similar to a racist blackface minstrel imagery. All right. And this is important to talk about because we was just supposed to be boycotting that place. People still up in there giving money. I done seen a few videos on the internet of people being harassed and they like, I knew I shouldn't have been in there. That's what I get for sneaking off in Target. This is what I get. So we once again, Target is back, back in the headlines in the controversy. Controversy centers around a children's glows under dark, or I'm sorry, under black like circus clown costume. The name too much. Y'all know y'all up to no good. And it's from Target Online. So after the images of the costume circulated online, critics pointed to the dark face covering and exaggerated facial features and said the design evoked historical characters that were used to demean black people. Yeah. So we see in this Halloween costume, we were like, that looks suspicious. That reminds us of something, right? So here's the bigger issue for some black customers. This isn't happening out of happen chance, okay? This isn't just happening out of nowhere because Target has already, they already have a complicated relationship with us in the black community. Because following the murder of George Floyd, the racial justice protest of 2020, Target publicly committed billions of dollars toward black-owned businesses and expanded diversity and inclusion initiatives. They was like, we got y'all back. We got you. We're going to put billions into this. Don't y'all worry. That's what they said to us. They said they got our back. But in 2025... Remember, they start doing a DEI cutbacks and Trump's like, yeah, we ain't got to do that no more. They said, cool. They was like, you know what? We ain't like y'all no way. Anyways, in 2025, Target announced that it was rolling back major portions of the diversity and equity inclusion efforts. So they took their word back. They was like, never mind. Right? That decision sparked backlash and helped fuel boycott efforts. And other activists stood on business. They was like, "Nah, we ain't doing that. Y'all literally promised us billions. Y'all promised to make us feel equal. And in 2025, look, got a hair in my face. When we ain't have to." They said, "Never mind." But not every black business owner supported that boycott, because some black-owned brands rallied on Target for access to millions of shoppers. They rely on Target for access to millions of shoppers. So there has never been one single black community position on the company. But that history is why this Halloween costume controversy is hitting different. Yeah, so I want this video to play. I'm showing the image right here. Well, Brother Z is showing us the image of what people kind of think this looks like. The posing and everything, right? That's what they had on their website. It's insane. The kid is posed just like the caricature. And I'm going to play this clip that I found online, and I thought it was really good because it's two white people from a white person, but it's actually good for us as well, because like we said before, we have a lot of people that think we should forget our history, and she gives a little bit of a history lesson. So go ahead, play that clip for us, Brother Z.
Clown, what's the problem? Target put this children's Halloween costume on its website, and black users on Threads immediately recognized the imagery as reminiscent of historic minstrel caricatures. Cue white people in their comments saying, "I just see a clown." So white person to white person. Let's dive into why that reaction just makes you look like kind of a clown. Let's start with minstrel shows. These were wildly popular 19th century performances where white actors would darken their faces and perform exaggerated racist caricatures of black people, portraying them as lazy, ignorant, hypersexual, any of the racist stereotypes that are still prevalent today. What's interesting is that minstrel shows were particularly popular among working class white audiences. By creating a degrading racist caricature of blackness, it gave white people who lacked wealth or social status a sense of racial belonging, racial superiority, regardless of class lines. And we still see that mentality reflected in today's politics, but I digress. One of the most famous characters to emerge from these shows was Jim Crow, a character created in the 1830s by white performer Thomas Dartmouth Rice. He's often known as the father of American minstrelsy. The character of Jim Crow embodied the visual tropes we see over and over again in blackface imagery. Exaggerated facial features like enormous mouths and smiles, prominent teeth and lips, and exaggerated body movements and poses. After the Civil War, black performers also participated in minstrel shows, as they were one of the few avenues into theater and economic opportunity. Black performers also wore blackface, and they performed the same exaggerated racial stereotypes. That's how powerful this imagery became. These racist images and caricatures were a visual language representing blackness in American pop culture for centuries. Now, we're skipping a lot here because this is short-form video content, but this brings us back to Target. When looking at this image, black people do not have the privilege of simply seeing a clown. They're recognizing a visual language that has been used to caricature black people for generations. And we know that Target has spent the past couple years retreating from its DEI initiatives. DEI was never about racial hiring quotas. It's about having people with different lived experiences and cultural knowledge in the room when something like this is being approved, who can say, "Hey, I'm not just seeing a clown here." This is why DEI is important. This is why knowing American history is important. Because learning about racism, Jim Crow, minstrelsy, white supremacy, and the way those ideas shaped American culture doesn't mean you hate America. It means you understand America. "I just see a clown. What's the problem?"
Man. My vanilla sister was cooking, wasn't she? So, like I said, and this rolled perfectly after Master P saying what he said, because it is so important that we know the history. I know some black people that will see that as well and just be like, "I just see a clown. What are you talking about?" The exaggerated mouth, the exaggerated teeth, the black boy's pose. It really hits a spot. Those who know, know. Man, those who know, know. And like I said, that history is why this Halloween costume controversy is hitting differently. Because of that history and because of Target's history, stepping back. They walked that back, that DEI stuff that they was talking about. They said, "Never mind." And in my opinion, this happened because of that. If there were more black people in the room to say, hey, I don't think this look right. I don't know about that, y'all. Y'all better get it together. They probably wouldn't have fallen victim to, yet again, more backlash. Because somebody would have been able to tell them what the history is. Somebody would have been able to tell them something is not right here. So somebody, they go through all these processes before a costume hits the shelf. They don't just go on AliExpress and grab some costumes and throw them up on their website. This is Target we're talking about. There's processes. Everything is strategically thought through. The posing, the models, the look, everything. So please do not think that there aren't a room full of people going over what is going to be posted on Target's website. You can't just get up on there and just post what you want to. You can't just sell what you want to. Aaron is him said they do this every year. Some bojangling costume. Babar said, so the sewing department in the factory didn't know this was wrong. The sewing department probably ain't got much to do with it, Babar. They probably just get a design and they get the sewing. They not in the rooms. Before they start sewing, there's somebody that drew this up. There's somebody that talked about how much it would be. There's somebody that talked about the design. There's somebody that talked about the model. There's somebody that came up with this. Somebody saw a picture and was like, you know what? We should go off of this and then reassemble it this way and do this this way. This image touched so many people before it got to the consumer. That's the point I'm making. And if they hadn't walked back that DEI stuff, maybe somebody in the room would have been like, yeah, y'all might want to look at some history stuff. Maybe that ain't the best idea. Right? And there is no evidence that I've seen establishing that Target intentionally designed the costume as blackface. There's no evidence, obviously, but if you know, you know. We know what it looks like. And you know what the problem is? Like I said, when you don't have these people in the rooms, there's people that probably have put this stuff out there and just thought it wasn't a big deal. Like when you think of like AliExpress, when you think of like these Asian companies, I've seen a few times that they'll do something and they'll apologize just because they was like, oh, I just thought it was American. I thought Americans just thought this was funny. And they'll say something racist and they just don't know. But they don't know because they don't know African Americans and they don't know anybody that can put them on game. So maybe it came out and it was an oopsie dent. But if they had us in the rooms, somebody would have told them something, right? The question critics are asking is, how did something that many people believe resembles a historically racist character make it through the design and approval process, merchandising process, especially after everything has happened between Target and black customers? So Target may be dealing with more than a Halloween costume controversy. It may be dealing with a trust problem. Let me know in the comments what y'all think. Is it simply a bad costume that slipped through the cracks, or does it say something bigger about how Target understands and listens to the community that it serves? Give me a call. We at 833-212-1017. You can text that line too, or you can join us on the chat. We're on YouTube, 101.7 The Truth. Again, that number, 833-212-1017. We're going to head to break, but we're going to be back. Then we're going to get into somebody passed away yesterday, and whoopsie daisy, kind of like how the costume passed through the cracks. That's how I feel about the death. But we're going to talk about it when we get back. Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. We got hair, so we go to the club. RIP, we just killed the club. Truck patrol, not the bottle, almost killed the thug. Right now, so can't feel the truck. Too many haters in the air, I don't feel the love. Look, RIP, yeah, RIP, yeah, RIP, yeah, RIP, yeah, RIP. RIP, we just killed the club. Yeah, RIP.
We are back. You guys are listening to The Lunch Break on 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Maybe Shannon. Normally, Ray Nitty is here, but he is neither here nor there. He's in Poland having a good time without us. He done left me and Zach in charge. We holding it down. Brother Z got the production and the sound, and we doing big things over here, man.
You in charge. I want to hear you say that. Say it.
I'm in charge.
You're my partner.
I know.
Say it. I'm in charge.
I'm in charge.
That clip gets me going. It reminds me I'm in charge. Man, y'all, we talked about a lot today. We talked about Master P and his secret to success. He said, forget the past and focus on the future. Get your bag. We also talked a little bit about some costume drama that is happening with Target. And we also left off with the question, what do y'all think? Do y'all think that it was simply a bad costume that slipped through the cracks? Or does Target have a bigger issue and they just don't understand the community that they are serving? We talked about how they promised us billions of dollars and all this DEI stuff, and they was going to support us. They had our back, and then they walked it back, and now this stuff is happening. We talked about it. We also talked a little bit about my weekend. We talked about Asian Fest. We had a good time. But before I left off, I said, we're going to talk about somebody that passed away yesterday. And why I don't care. Whoop-dee-doo. I feel how Target feel about that costume. Oopsie-daisy. Let's get into it. A major update in the Sonya Massey case. Sean Grayson, the former Illinois sheriff deputy, the one that was convicted of killing Sonya Massey, has died in prison at 32, according to reports. You know, and sometimes it's like he's not taking up tax money. Good for him.
When I first saw that, I thought they got him, but I saw it was related to something else.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't come out with the official cause, so one could only dream that they shanked him. You know what? You know that he went peacefully, right? But for anybody that needs a refresher, Sonya Massey was a 36-year-old black mother of two who called 911 on July 6, 2024 because she believed someone might be outside of her home. She called the police. She needed help. Right? She called the police. She was asking for help. And Grayson showed up to her rescue with another deputy. They responded to her home. Body camera footage showed that the deputies inside Massey's home. Oh, it showed the deputies inside Massey's home. At one point, Massey was near a pot of hot water. Grayson told her to move the pot. Massey picked it up and said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Grayson then drew his weapon and threatened to shoot her. After telling her to move the pot, he moved the pot and he drew his weapon. Massey ducks under a counter and Grayson fired three shots. One struck her in the head and killed her. This mother called for help. The deputies arrived, helps on the scene. Then help got scared by a pot of water. Deputy was scared for his life because she had a pot of water.
Wow. That's crazy.
And then she ducked under the counter. So he ended up killing her. And Grayson argued that he believed Massey was about to throw this boiling water on him and that he acted in self-defense. Prosecutors argued that Massey was complying and that the shooting was unjustified. It sounds like she was complying to me. Sound like she moved the pot of hot water, ducked under the counter, and still was killed. She actually called the police for help. How many times are you going to hear that story over and over again? You call them for help, you end up dead. Oopsie. Oopsie daisy, I just a baby. That's kind of how they, oopsie. That's how they treat our lives. Didn't mean it, my bad. So, Grayson was originally charged with first-degree murder in October 2025. A jury found him guilty of second-degree murder. In January of 2026, a judge sentenced him to the maximum of 20 years in prison, followed by mandatory supervised release. Let's kick it to the chat. Somebody said, now the real prison sentence begins in H-E double hockey. Somebody else said, good riddance. It sounds like the community don't really care. That's why I said, whoopsie daisy, whoop-dee-doo. Back to what we doing. I saw some of the comments online. They said, we smoking on that, that Grayson pack. Anyways, y'all want some from the gas station. I don't think people mourn him, but I do think it's important to remember her. That's why I'm telling the story. Right? So he was sentenced to the maximum of 20 years in prison, followed by mandatory supervised release. But his health later became a part of the story. Grayson had colon cancer, and his attorney said it spread to his liver and his lungs. Oh, poor baby. Right? Yeah. It happens to the best of us. Get over it, right? Get over it like we got to get over our history. He'll be all right. Well, probably not now. But anywho, he sought early medical release from prison. But the Illinois Prisoner Review Board rejected that request on July 31st, 2026. My thing is, he ain't suffered. You know what? I ain't gonna say it. He ain't suffered long enough. He was in there for what, 2-3 years before he was like, you know what? I can't be here. I'm dying, y'all. Let me free. Yeah. I'm pretty sure she wanted to live a little longer too. So he sought early medical release from prison. Now, reports say Grayson has died while incarcerated. His attorney confirmed the death. His exact cause of death had not been publicly confirmed because he just passed away last night. Although his advanced cancer had been widely reported. And now I know a lot of people are going to have strong feelings about this update because of what happened to Sonya Massey. Whatever your reaction is, her name should stay at the center of this story. I think this is a day of remembrance for Sonya Massey. That's what I think we should do it as, day of remembrance. She called for help. She called 911 for help, and she lost her life after law enforcement entered her home. So, rest in peace to Sonya Massey. And Sean Grayson, whoop-dee-doo. I don't know. Hate to be you. Whoop-dee-doo, hate to be you. That rhymes. Hey, they said in the chat, good luck in the lower room. The lower room. Y'all know they say the upper room, but eh. RC Creation says, so this guy was on meds while working a job like that. You know what's interesting about him working a job like that, right? While I was doing my digging, my researching and whatnot, he shouldn't have been working a job like that. Not only was he medicated, but he was fired from multiple places because of bad behavior. I think that's more of a question mark than the medicine. That's what I think. He should have never been there. I think he was discharged from the military. He had a long history of not needing to be working with people. And then got the nerve to. And when he submitted his appeal, if I'm not mistaken, homeboy, he still wouldn't admit that he killed this woman. In his appeal, I think that he mentioned that he was defending himself. He still wouldn't accept that you weren't defending yourself. You killed this woman. Right? One of one said, shaking my head, the signs were there. They were. Grown Soul said, I hope she was right there to press the elevator button going down. I know that's right. Hey, he was like, where we going? We going down. You ain't going to the upper room. You going down below. Down below. That's what you doing. So, next on the news, now that we told Sonya Massey's story and we mentioned that dude died, whatever. Spider-Man versus the far-right demonstrators, y'all. Ooh, I've been waiting to get into this. Have y'all seen the... There's a clip going around. It's been on the news. Spider-Man jumped into action this weekend. There were some protests going on, and Spider-Man wasn't having that. He put hands and feet on a Nazi. All right? So, this is probably the wildest things that you're going to hear about today. A man dressed up as Spider-Man showed up during a far-right demonstration in downtown Minneapolis. And instead of standing on the sidelines, he ended up throwing some punches. He was getting it in. The confrontation happened during a rally led by far-right activist Jake Lang. Counter-protesters also showed up, and tensions escalated. The video from the scene quickly went viral. Before we get to the Spider-Man moment, though, I think it's important that we talk about why events like this attract so much attention, y'all. Right? And we don't get into this after the break, all right? Because I think it's important to give this a little more time to bake. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get back into it. We're going to let it bake a little bit, but we're going to get into it. Why Spider-Man was throwing punches and why things like this attract so much attention. And I have a question for y'all out there, and I definitely need to hear from y'all. We on the lunch break, 101.7 The Truth, live in the studio. If you want to join the conversation, go over to our YouTube. Join the chat. The chat is chatting. Make sure you watch me live in studio. I'm holding it down, and we got Brother Z on the production and sound. We're going to get back into this after we come back from break. Don't go anywhere, y'all.
Don't go anywhere.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes a Spider-Man.
We are back, y'all. Y'all rocking with the kid, all right. Yeah, y'all letting me cook today. Y'all letting me get in the driver's seat, nice and comfy, feet slanging, talking my stuff. I like it in this scene. It's comfy. Man, you guys are back listening to The Lunch Break on 101.7 The Truth. We are live in the 3rd Street Marketplace. The beautiful 3rd Street Marketplace. It's buzzing out there. People stopping in the window waving. But that's neither here nor there, man. We was just talking about Sonya Massey. Rest in peace to Sonya Massey. And then her killer passed away in jail, as he should. Wasting our time breathing. Taking my good air up. In Illinois' tax dollars. But anywho, he dead. Rest in peace, Sonya Massey. Respectfully. But after that, we got into Spider-Man versus the far-right demonstrators in Minneapolis. Am I pronouncing that right? Minneapolis. I always feel awkward saying that word. So, quick recap. A confrontation happened during a rally led by far-right activist Jake Lane. Counter-protesters also showed up and tensions escalated. The video from the scene quickly went viral. And like I said, before we can get into the Spider-Man moment, we got to talk about why events like this attract so much attention. All right. Extremist organizations often rely on a spectacle. A small group can arrive carrying signs and symbols, and then counter-protesters show up, people that ain't playing that. Then you got the police showing up. They creating barriers. Cameras start rolling. And suddenly, an event involving a relatively small number of people can reach millions and millions of people online. Brother Z is playing that video as we talk. If you're not on YouTube, head over to YouTube. Check us out. We got the video so you can see the sights and sounds. You can really get the visuals on what we're talking about. All right, and you can join the chat and talk to us. So, that raises a real question, though. Are counter-protesters sometimes giving extremist groups exactly what they want, though, by showing up? On the other hand, should communities simply ignore these neo-Nazis and white supremacists when they show up in public? For many people, that feels impossible and unacceptable, right? Because I don't know how I'd handle seeing that or somebody being in Milwaukee. It's a lot. It's a lot to unpack there. And I guess the harder question is how to respond when these things are happening in your community. Should the communities ignore these groups and deny them the attention that they are seeking? Look, I got tongue-tied, y'all. Or should people counter-protest peacefully with signs, chants, and organized resistance? Or should people be willing to get active? Should people get in the streets? Should people throw hands and feet? Because that's what brings us to Spider-Man's footage. A video circulating online shows a person in a full Spider-Man suit climbing onto a vehicle and physically confronting people involved in that demonstration. Yes, the visual is exactly surreal as it sounds. Yeah, it's just as crazy as it sounds. Yeah. White supremacists counter protesters, police trying to manage the crowd, and then Spider-Man comes flying into the scene. Social media had a field day. I know I saw him taking pictures before this with the protesters. He was, or the counter protesters, let me be clear. He was chilling in the streets. People were like, what is Spider-Man doing here? And then I see the video of him flying on the back of the truck and getting active. He said, listen, I ain't your friendly Spider-Man. I got hands and feet for this. He wasn't playing. And he kept his costume on the full time. Then I saw him getting arrested. I was kind of sad about that. They should have let him go at it. But anywho, some people are calling him a hero and others joked that Peter Parker should be proud. But here's where we have to separate that viral moment from the legal reality. Someone can oppose white supremacy and still face those legal consequences for assault and other unlawful conduct. The First Amendment, it does protect deeply offensive speech, but it does not automatically protect violence, y'all. So even though we're proud of him for getting active, we got to think our boy might be in jail. And at the same time, self-defense or defense of others matter legally depending on exactly what happened and who initiated the confrontation and whether someone was in immediate danger. The short viral clip may not show the entire encounter, but all those things matter. And beneath those jokes is a serious question about how communities should respond to extremist organizations. Do we think denying them attention works, or do are we allowed to oppose? Does peaceful protest send the strongest message? Or does humor make extremists look less powerful? Because that was funny seeing Spider-Man down there and then he got active. So we got humor, we got physical confrontation, which makes for a good viral moment. But do we think that's the right way to go, guys? Cousins, I want to hear from y'all. If a neo-Nazi group throws up in your city, what's the best response? What do we think? Do we peacefully protest? Do we mock them? Do we throw hands and feet? Because Spider-Man got active. He did it all. He mocked them. He used humor. He had his costume. He went in. Love that formula. Man. But listen. I think more people should get active. I do. I hate to be that person. But I also do understand the part where it's like, just ignore them and they'll go away like a little kid. Because that is what they want. They want people to show up. Like, sometimes it's these small organizations, right? They show up and they're like, okay, we gonna get out here and we're going to get people pissed off and they're going to start fighting with us and then we're going to get all the cameras. That they rely on the attention to keep growing. So I do understand why people say, just ignore them. I do. But I also I know how hard it can be to just ignore something like that and let people think that that's okay. I know how hard it can be to feel like, oh, they think they can come into our space and kind of bully us around. No, we gonna show them that y'all not welcome here. And I get it. But I also understand why people say ignore these people, because that's what they rely on. That's what they want. And sometimes they use those clips of people getting active and people getting a rise out of people. And they use it against us a lot of times. I feel like a lot of times they use those things against us and we might feel good in the moment. We might feel good like, you know what? We did what had to be done. And like I said, watching that clip, I was proud of Spider-Man, even though he eventually got pushed and pulled off the little truck he just jumped on and started swinging on. He, you know, took a little tumble, went to jail. He had a rough go, but in the moment, it felt good. But like I said, I don't know if it's worth it. He gonna go to jail. He probably gonna get a nice little ticket. They probably take his costume. Man, rough. But like I said, the internet is talking about it because it's just so, and like I said, it's a spectacle. And They love to be like, oh, the lefts are crazy. They so crazy. Look at them. They dressing up as Spider-Man now. So it's just like, how do we deal with that? And I think that's a good question for us to sit on, man. But I also wanted to talk about Damon Darling and Walmart. If you've been on social media, you know who Damon Darling is, y'all. He is a social media influencer. And he recently got banned from Walmart. He got banned from Walmart, y'all. He is very viral. He has over 10 million followers, y'all. Very, very viral guy. He started off doing comedy and pranks and things of that nature. But since then, he's grown. In a viral social media person like himself, when he got a life ban, everybody was buzzing, right? So he has a massive following across all social media platforms. And the controversy starts because he recently posted a video from Walmart in Ohio where he was trying to buy groceries. What he does is he helps people out. He goes around and he offers help to the people. He asks if they want him to buy groceries or whatever, or he offers money. And like some people, you get that reaction like, oh, get away from me. You know, he'll approach anybody, white, black, whatever. And more often than not, like the white people are like, no, because they think it's a prank. They think it's a scam or something. But he's actually buying groceries and doing good. But after he left that day, officers reportedly pulled him over and served him a lifetime ban in Walmart. Yeah. And naturally, the internet went crazy. People started saying, wait, Walmart banned him for buying other people's groceries. And some followers even started calling for a boycott of Walmart. They said, well, y'all ain't finna get him out of there. He's doing good. Why are y'all pushing him out, right? Walmart pushed back on that narrative. The company said that Darling was not banned because he was giving back or paying for people's groceries. Walmart said that the decision followed after repeated policy issues. And there's another piece of this story. Darling previously did film prank videos and comedy inside of Walmart stores. But those older videos of him were from years ago, and now he's doing good. Man. So here's the question. Did Walmart go too far by banning David or Damon Darling? They gave him a lifetime ban. We can get more into this tomorrow. I'm going to be back. We got Brother Z on production and sound. We can get more into that story, y'all. But it was nice rocking with y'all. Thank y'all for rocking with me. My name is Shannon, and these are my temptations. No, I'm just joking, y'all. I'll be back tomorrow. You are listening to The Lunch Break with Ray Nitty and Maybe Shannon. I am holding it down today. Next up, we got The Grapevine with Homer Blow. Y'all don't want to miss this.